For millions of people, generous giving is an annual affair rather than a daily way of life. And quite often, the season of giving, as many may call it, is extremely tied to getting and receiving as well. As part of the body of Jesus Christ, we are told by Jesus himself to be generous people. And I believe that we all know that God the Father and Jesus Christ are consistent, generous givers, aren't they? I mean, I think we would all agree with that and all understand that and all appreciate that. And true believers have been given a charge, a serious responsibility to be rich in good works and in giving. Christians who have been blessed materially have been given a charge, as it says, to be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, we read, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, I don't know about you, but this is an absolutely incredible, fascinating, you know, scripture here, passages to recognize. We can see God ties together here in this passage eternal life and giving. Yes, he's tied it to other things, but I'm focusing on the giving here. He ties in eternal life and giving. So giving, we see very clearly, there's not wrong. This is not wrong. It's right, and it's more than right if you think about it in that term and look at it in that way. In the Word of God, the Bible, we find there are many ways to give. There are instructions on how to do that. God commands tithing and God commands offerings. We all know that. We see that. Also, God provides instructions about gleaning and alms and other good and generous deeds that we can demonstrate to both God and man. People can see that. God can see that. And there are many different instructions. Let's be sure as we give that we do it in a way that pleases God. Do it in a way that is pleasing to God. With that in mind, let me ask you a question, one that you may not have thought about. Are you aware that some giving actually displeases God? You ever thought about that? There could be some giving that displeases God. In Jesus' day, there were religious people who were very cautious givers. For example, the Pharisees. The Pharisees would carefully follow the law and give 10% what they had of their earning, in that sense, to God. They would do it. Exactly. Yet Jesus was unhappy with the giving of the legalistic Pharisees. Let's take a notice and take a look and see this. In Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, if you'll go with me there. Luke 18. Verses 11 and 12. Luke 18, verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." So in his description of things that he had not done right, or rather in his description of all the things he had not done wrong, he lists those. But then in his list of things that he offers up that he has done that is a good thing is, I tithe, I give. We know from Scripture that it tells us that the Pharisees tithe even the smallest of seed. In fact, they would count the number of seeds and count out an exact tenth to make sure that they did not cheat God. To the seed, to make sure that they gave a full tithe. What they did was they would compare themselves to others who did not do it that way. Maybe they even gave themselves a big pat on the back for their generous giving. In Luke chapter 11, and verse 43. Luke 11 and verse 43. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. You see, Jesus warned the Pharisees, saying, woe to them. Yes, they gave. They gave the tithe, which they should have done. Because God has just very plainly showed us in Scriptures that we're to do that. That's another topic for another time. But it's very plain, it's very clear. We are to do that, and they did that. But they did not give to God in the approach that pleased God. Could there be times whenever we could give and do it in a way that is displeasing to God? Yeah. Yes, there really are. Because what we notice is here, what God, or in Jesus Christ, in this thing that where he's pointing this out, He wants us to notice they left out judgment and the love of God. The giving here, which was right, was not accepted in the proper way, in the right way, because of their whole attitude and approach. As these two examples show, not all charity or not all giving pleases God. In other passages, the Word of God shows other reasons why certain giving fails to please God. There are other examples. I'm just using those. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus told his disciples their righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. When they did things and he was holding up some things, he did that. But let's go there and let's see this. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, having said that, one of the only things that we actually see in this account of where he talked about was their giving. Everything else was, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And it's not exactly that strong, but I'm saying it that way to get the point. Then in Matthew chapter 6, the very next chapter, we find examples of proper giving, the kind that is pleasing to God. So what we're seeing is there are times when giving is not pleasing to God. And we also are going to see now that there are times when giving is pleasing to God. And that's what we want to focus on. We want to make sure that we are not doing the what doesn't please God. We want to do that which does please God. Jesus used an example concerning alms, which in this context here in Matthew chapter 6, alms in this context simply means giving donations, and it can be of food, money, whatever the need is at the particular time. Giving donations of any sort to the poor and the needy. It's giving to them. And he is using this as a principle. He's using alms as a principle of giving here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, begin in verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, that's a powerful statement. We're going to come back to that. We're going to see more about this. Therefore, verse 2, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you. Now, why would he say this? Because you look back through church history, various sources and references, it'll show you that there were people who, when they went to give their temple tax, that somebody blew a trumpet. He says, you don't do this. You don't do this. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3, but when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. A basic principle of giving in a way that pleases God is not to draw attention to the giver and or to the gift. But rather, it is to see the glory of God. Now, that's awesome in itself, too. I don't know how much you've ever really thought about that when we give, it is glorifying God. There's the right attitude, the right spirit, the right heart. All of those things tie in here. We're not doing it to be seen of men. We're not doing it for what we're going to receive. We're not doing it for anything that comes back on self. We're doing it that God is glorified. Matthew 6, verse 1, the first part, to restate it. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now go with me back to chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to tie something in together. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we are not to do alms to be seen of men, does this mean that we should avoid doing any public giving? Does this mean we are to be secretive with our faith and our deeds? I mean, after all, the Bible does state that we are to do things in secret. We just read that. It even says not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We read that, Matthew 6 and verse 3. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. There should be some thoughts and questions going on in your mind. Now what this means is this involves avoiding not only the praise of others, but also self-praise as well. Now, this is the principle of what it's referring to here. So, must we never be seen giving? Must we never be known as a giver? Depends on how you ask the question, is it, to come to the answer? The answer to these questions is found back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The answer is very clear. Chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. Excuse me, let's read that again. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the answer is very clear. Certainly not. It does not mean that we are not to be doing things in public. It does not mean that we're to be doing it secretly. There are times that we do things that are secretly, but I'm asking the question from the verses that we've read, does it mean we should never do anything out front and out public, you know, in the public and everybody could see it? The answer is, of course not. It's not what it says. There are times when we are to be seen. The world needs the light pointing to God. And we're the only ones that can offer the light. Because he does it through us. He does it through the disciples of Jesus Christ. No, rather, what this is speaking about is it is avoiding doing them just to be seen of men. We are to avoid doing anything that is considered as righteousness, could be considered as an act of righteousness, to be seen of men. Anything. It is right. It is proper. It is good works. Whether others are witnesses or whether others are not witnesses, when we are giving in order to please God, it is always right if we do whatever, seen or unseen by others, if we do, in this context, giving that pleases God, that is to praise God. And so whether it's seen or not seen isn't the issue, because there are times we do it in secret and there are times and God is praised, and there are times when we do it openly and people see it and God is praised and God is glorified. However, no matter how you state it, no matter how you state that, however, this is not true when we are trying to secure praise for ourselves or attention for ourselves and what we've done. The context of not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing suggests that we forget about what we have given and avoid our thinking highly of ourselves as deserving of the praise. I mean, I gave this much. What difference does it make? It's not about the giving. It's not about the amount. It's not about what it is, an object or whatever. It's not about that. It's about, do we give it in a way that praises God, that glorifies God? Or do we do it in a way to make us look like something? People who give in this life in order to receive the praise of others may get the praise of men, but nothing else. Remember what we read back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Brother, when we give, whatever it is that we give, we are to have the love of God and deep desire to please God. That's to be our heart. That's to be our focus. That's to be our attitude. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before them or before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Are there times whenever we actually do pray in public? Of course there are. So it's not condemning that. It's not condemning the giving in a public manner. It's not condemning the praying in a public manner. It's the what are we doing it for? He's made it in the context of seeing, to be seen of men. They've got their reward. They want rewards of men. They got it. Verse 16, drop down to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Other men saw them that they were fasting and they went, oh, they're fasting. That's the reward. You see, God wants us to have purity and simplicity in our giving. Basically, this simplicity deals with the motive that we have just been talking about. What is our motive? What motivates us in the giving? And it can be, as we've already seen, with the scribes and the Pharisees who gave to be seen, and they gave what was right to the counting out of the seed. They gave. They did exactly what they had been told to do. We give ten. Tithe means tenth. They gave the tenth part to God. They had a bunch of seeds. They counted them out and they gave 10 out of every 100 to God. They did it. But what was the attitude? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 8. Romans 12 verse 8. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. He was showing how in various situations different things are done. And it ties into he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. Nothing complicated about it. It's a right mood, right motive, right attitude. It goes back to Matthew 6, verse 2, the first part of the verse again. This is what I said. We're going to learn a lot out of Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2, the A part. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. People who need the praise of men are the ones who would be sounding the trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets. People who need the praise of men are the ones who seek to be honored by men. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, and the last part of the verse. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We've probably all seen entertainers in different situations where they'll be doing some kind of performance, and whenever they walk out and the people applaud and they'll say, come on, give it more, you know, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, they want it. And they've got it. And the people will applaud and they'll do all this kind of stuff. They got their reward. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. That's all they got. What we need to realize, what we need to understand is this person who is that way, or people who are that way, they receive exactly and only what they wanted. The praise of men. Do we want the praise of men or the praise of God? Well, if that's what they want, let them have their reward. They can have it. It is a serious and sad thing to miss out on the reward from our Heavenly Father because we do it to be seen of men, especially when we do it to be seen of men. You see, they have no reward from the Father in heaven, neither in this present life or in the future, in the eternal. They have nothing from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. We read it earlier. Let's read it again here. That your alms may be in secret. Now we understand more about what this verse is actually saying. And your Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward you openly. You see, God doesn't do anything for man to be glorified through it. God does things. Man is rewarded. God does things where man is rewarded, but he doesn't do it so this man is glorified. He does it so this man is rewarded. But the end result of even God's giving, God is still the one that is to be praised. God is still the one that is lifted up in this. The glory still goes back to God. Did this man that God honors in a way, did God owe it to him to do this? Of course not. In contrast, however, what we do see is the early church practiced an unusually high level of generosity toward each other. Let's see a couple of different passages that shows some of this. In Acts chapter 2, let's begin in verse 44. Acts 2 and verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. They practice giving. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. Acts 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. That's part of the key. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You know, some people had three children, they were presented this, whatever the need was, and some had five, and some had one, and, you know, whatever the needs were, And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Now, that's a totally another subject, but that's an incredible topic. That's a really a rich topic, just to look into who Barnabas was and all that that entails. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we know, we go on and we see also the account of where the husband and wife come in and where they had sold. And again, see, it's a giving that wasn't pleasing to God. You know, we know that story, you know, where the man comes in and he lays the money down, and Peter says, you know, when you had the money and you stated you were going to do a certain thing and you didn't, why did you do this? And he went, well, I gave what I was going to do. And he says, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. You know, and the man fell dead. He gave. He sold his house. He sold whatever it was, a house or land or whatever. He did sell it. And he gave like everybody else. But it's obvious his attitude toward the giving wasn't pleasing to God. The man died. And then the young men, it says, they came and they took him out and he buried him. And he came back in. And about the time they're walking in, the wife is there. And he says, why did you lie? You know, you had it. You didn't have to say you were going to do this. You didn't do what you said you were going to do, and you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And she died, fell dead, and they took her out. Brother, even in this life, there is benefit of proper giving to the poor. Now, I'm going back and talking about, you know, something that was mentioned earlier. It was in the alms, and I just mentioned what alms was in that situation. But I want to show a benefit for giving to the poor in this life. We notice back in Psalm 41, we notice God's promise to deliver. In Psalm 41 in verse 1, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Eternal will deliver him in time of trouble. Do you get the connection? The giving and a right attitude and to those who are the need in the time, and you have the wherewithal and you do your part. And it's obviously done here with the right motivation, with the right spirit. God is the one who's getting the praise through this, not the giver. We've already seen that principle. It says God will deliver that person in time of trouble. Verse 2, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you will not deliver him into the will of his enemies. Ties in with giving. Verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. You will make all his bed in his sickness. He's going to be healed. He's going to be taken care of. God is going to take care of a person who is a giver. And obviously in the context, because based upon the other scriptures, there are times when people could give and they didn't do it in the right heart, didn't do it for the right reason, didn't do it for the right motivation. They're not going to receive this. So this is somebody who's receiving for the doing it for the right reasons. And also there is benefit in God's eternal kingdom when we finally do face God, because every secret thing will be made known. Even the giving that was done in secret and no one else knew. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to bring it out. And it's going to be rewarded. There's going to be benefit. There are benefits, obviously, as I've shown, now in this life for giving. And there's going to be benefit in the kingdom of God for giving. We will receive benefit according to the good we have done. While we know that no good works will earn salvation, we know that. Yet we notice that proper giving does relate to laying up treasure in heaven and receiving reward. We just read that. It didn't use those terms, but that's what it's saying. Benefit in the kingdom of God. But I do want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, it means in the body of Christ, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. What has been our attitude in our giving? And please understand, giving does not necessarily limit itself to money. How have we treated one another in the body of Christ? Have we given to each other rightly? I mean, that's what this is saying. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. See, giving, most of the time, we tend to limit it to money. Oh, money is one of those things. But it's only one of those things. So let me ask, how can a person become a giver who is pleasing to God? Which is what we want. Well, certainly we must be cheerful about what we give or how we give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, or how he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly, so he's telling us what could be in the heart. What could be, but what should be. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. Now I'm going to go back to Ananias and Sapphira, the ones who died when they came to Peter and they gave the money. And he says, you lied, but you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. I'm not really trying to judge them, but I think the judgment is there. The judgment being is they gave it grudgingly. It wasn't with the right heart. It wasn't with the right attitude. They gave, but we can give, but how, I mean, what pleases God? That's the question. How can a person give in a way that pleases God. Well, one of the ways to not please God, obviously, is grudgingly or out of just necessity. Well, I gave it because I was supposed to. Well, you know, little children, we teach them about giving because it's right. In other words, it's out of necessity. We teach them to learn because they don't have that in their, you know, they don't have that. So we teach them. And it's how we teach them is how they will eventually give. We put the right thing in their heart, which is what God is wanting us to have in our heart, the way we give it. But he says, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we probably all heard that the Greek word, it's where we get our word hilarious. He loves an hilarious giver, someone who is overjoyed, who's bubbling over in it. It's a heart, it's an attitude of doing it because he's not looking at self, he's looking at God. And that's what he wants. So we go and back to the question, how can a person become a giver who is pleasing God? We give like God does. He gave willingly. God so blank the world. What was it? Loved. And he gave it willingly. He gave up his son. And Jesus willingly did it. Loves a cheerful giver. Brethren, please understand. God's nature is a gift that he gives to his children through the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about that. God's nature, nature meaning exactly what he is, to become just like God the Father and just like Jesus Christ. He gives it as a gift. He gives it through the Holy Spirit. I mean, you think about it. How does talking to somebody and saying, I've repented, I accept Jesus Christ, and then you go and you climb into this swimming pool or an ocean or the whatever, and you go underneath the water and you come back up, and then somebody puts their hands on and prays on you, and you receive the Holy Spirit. It seems so ludicrous when you describe it in that way. But it's the way God has said to do this. It's the humbling of ourself, and it's getting the attention off of self, off of me, and it's getting it onto God to glorify God through that. God is glorified through this act of crawling into the watery grave of Jesus Christ and then being brought up or resurrected again and then have hands laid. All of this is part of the, you know, is part of the plan of salvation of God that he has for mankind. He does it this way. He wants to know how much we are willing in that sense to accept, to do it. And through it all, are we praised? Are we glorified? Are we, you know, are we, you know, through this receiving of the Holy Spirit, does it make us, you know, better people from the point of view of we earned this? No. It's a free gift from God. We have started receiving part of the nature of God. Part of God, and he gives it so that we can become like God is. That's what our attitude is supposed to be. Give in a way that God is magnified, God is glorified. So as we become more and more like God, we obviously will become better givers. We will become more able to please God. And that in itself is an awesome truth to really expand on your own and pray about it and, you know, and think about it and study about that. Giving is a wonderful thing. But we can do it one of two ways. To please self or to please God. To make ourselves look better or do it that God is magnified, that God is praised through it. And we could do the, and two people can do the very same thing, give under the same condition. If it's money, give the exact amount of money. But the one is right is the one who gives it with the right heart. Not looking at self, but looking at God. And we have a choice. As we come to the close of this, for all of us, is this. That we will grow in our ability to give, not to be seen of men, but to glorify God. That we will grow in our ability to give without self-praise. And a third thing is that we will grow in righteousness that will be of God, which will far exceed the legalistic righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. I mean, we were told that it has to exceed that. So let me conclude with this. Let me put it very simple. Our giving is to be as praise of God. So let's learn to be cheerful givers like God.